Hello, everyone. It is Jamie Jill right here at Madlet Musings. And today we have a very creepy, delightfully, deliciously thrilling author, Jessica R. Patch. Hey, Jess.
Hey, that's an entrance. Hello,
That?
I'm in.
I know. Like, dun, dun, dun.
I'm in my Morticia wig and my black nails.
Yeah, I'm right. No, you're in pink. I guarantee you're in pink right now.
actually am, but my yoga pants are black, so that counts.
Oh, okay. All right. There you
My sweatshirt is pink.
Yes. Well, for those listening to the podcast who may not know you, which is a shame if they don't, but now they will. Jessica is like the princess of serial killers. Like, if you were a serial killer, you would be a princess covered in blood.
For sure. For
Right?
sure. And wilted pink flowers. Oh,
And
absolutely.
wilted pink flowers. Absolutely. Yeah, you're just like, I don't know, you bring the girl into killing.
Girl slay. Oh my gosh.
Girl
That's
slay.
funny.
That should be your new tagline.
It should be.
There's so much in that. Let's
There
unpack
really
that.
is.
Let's spend the next half hour and unpack that. What does
We could
that
totally do
mean?
that. We could do that. Oh, that's fun. Yeah, serial
Oh,
killers
fun.
are my jam. I do like
Yeah,
writing about serial
you
killers.
do. You do. And you do a good job.
Thank you.
I enjoy reading about your serial killers. They are very devious, and I'm a little concerned at times.
I get that in reviews sometimes. I do question this author. Is she okay? And I'm here to tell y'all, I am not.
No. I'm here to second that.
I
That's okay. We are okay that you're not okay because you're not okay makes us all okay.
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 Oh my gosh. Well, we're digressing just a little bit, but not too
Little
much.
bit. It feels
A
like a
little bit.
slumber party.
I know. That's pretty much what this is. So, but we're
I
here to
love
talk
it.
about your new release, The Garden Girls.
Yes, I'm super excited about this book.
This is a really intriguing cover, first and foremost. So if anybody's not sure what it looks like, look it up. The Garden Girls by Jessica R. Patch. I can't tell if that girl on the cover is supposed to be dead or alive.
I'm never gonna tell. You'll have to
I
read it to
know.
find out.
I know. It's just this
Yeah.
eye staring at me from
Yeah, just the
behind,
one eye. I know.
wilting
It's
flowers.
so, it's like hauntingly beautiful, which nails the story completely. It was one of their best covers. I always think, oh, they're never going to be able to top this cover. And then they do.
Right.
And this one is probably my favorite. I mean, I love them all for sure, but this one is definitely one of my favorites. It's so fun and so mysterious and beautiful and terrifying. And that is the book in a nutshell.
Beautiful and terrifying. I like that. That's a good
Yeah.
combination.
Yeah, because Jesus is beautiful and light shines in darkness, and it's terrifying because the killer is absolutely one of the most diabolical, frightening villains I think I have written to date. And that's saying a lot because I've written a lot of really creepy killers.
I was going to say, a lot of your killers are really diabolical, so I'm not sure that you can get much worse than some that have already been out there, but apparently you're going to.
I'm doing it. And then
You're
it's my
doing
next goal. Can I top this? Can he be crazier than this guy? And I
it.
promise you, yes, he can. He will.
Yes, he can. Yeah, you're kind of like, I like to describe you to readers as the criminal minds of I would say Christian fiction, except it's not like overtly Christian. Like you don't have to be of any faith background to read your writing, but
No, I don't think
you also
so.
don't shy away from your faith either. So.
No. I think for me, for faith is the way when you have whatever you believe in or whatever you believe about God or don't believe about God or whatever is how you view the world. So the way I see the world stems from what I believe about God and what I believe about faith. So it's not overt at all or preachy at all, or at least I don't
Right.
think so, but
No.
it still has biblical truths or principles in there, and
Right.
I think really immorality, for that matter. I mean, I think everybody, no matter what you believe, thinks that it's wrong, like murder. So,
Well, I hope so.
I would hope so. That's a pretty, minus my serial killers and real ones and stuff, but overall, people don't murder. So I just feel like it's not overt, but it is a beautiful redemption story. And I think we read a lot of redemption stories, regardless of where your book is marketed
Yes.
to. So.
Yes. Yes. And I think a lot of people like that. And honestly, it's a good offset to the darkness of a serial killer crime story also.
Absolutely. Yeah.
To have some of that brightness come through is
there needs to be some hope.
A little bit, just a little bit.
Just a little hope, little justice, little hope. And things don't always tie up nicely, because I don't think life does, but there's definitely some light coming through those dark cracks, and it gives people some breathing room and maybe less of a nightmare when they go to bed at night.
Hey, and that's good. That's always a good thing. No nightmares.
That is good.
I
No
like
nightmares.
that.
Terrify you while you're awake, but then I want you to sleep in peace. But I want you to be scared while you're awake.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So rest in peace. I get it.
See? We can't get around it. We can't get around that.
I can't. It's just there. It's just there.
It's looming.
Well, I don't know. This book sounds pretty macabre. In fact, the word macabre even makes its way into the back cover copy. But, you know, okay. So I'm just going to read it because it's creepy. On a remote Outer Banks island, a serial killer collects his prized specimens. And to stop him, an FBI agent must confront his own twisted past. FBI agent Tiberius Granger, great name, by the way.
Thank you.
He has seen his share of darkness, but a new case sets him on edge. It is not just the macabre way both victims, found posed in front of lighthouses, are tattooed with flowers that match their names. Ooh. There's also the unsettling connection to the woman Ty once loved and to the shadowy cult they both risked everything to escape. Bexley Hemingway's sister has gone missing. Hemingway is one of my family names too, by the way, Jeff.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
But anyway, that's beside the point. Bexley Hemingway's sister has gone missing and she'll do anything to find her, including teaming up with Ty. That may prove a mistake, and not just because Ty doesn't know he's the father of her teenaged son. It seems the killer is taunting Ty, drawing everyone close to him into deeper danger. As the slashing winds and rain of a deadly hurricane approach the coast of North Carolina, the search leads Ty and Bex, good grief, to an island that hides a grisly secret. But in his quest for the truth, Ty has ignored the fact that this time, he's not just the hunter. Every move has been orchestrated by a killer into a perfect storm of terror, and they will need all their skills to survive.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, I'm sold. I'm in.
Yay!
My audiobook drops to my phone tomorrow, which is great.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome.
So I'm looking forward to
mine's going to drop too, because I haven't got to hear. I mean, I was able to hear the narrator in some stuff, and I know she's going to be fantastic, but I haven't been able to hear an excerpt just yet. So I'm pretty excited myself.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so let's go there. You're tattooing your victims now with flowers.
Absolutely.
Is it postmortem or premortem?
Oh no. It's perimortem.
Perimortem. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So they're being tattooed alive.
Okay. There's worse for
And yeah. So they're being tattooed alive, and I don't think it's a spoiler, but he's not actually killing his victims. He's collecting them. But some of them have to die in order to bring Ty to the island. So they're just, some of them are unfortunately a means to an end, but he has no intention of killing them. He's collecting them, and they stay as long as he wants them to stay.
So he's basically creating bouquets, a
yes,
garden.
flowers that will bloom. Yes.
Oh, that's special. How
It's
is
so
this supposed to be
sweet.
creepy?
Yeah.
That's endearing. It's almost romantic.
It is. His own little world. Has his own little garden of flowers that bloom just for him.
It's so special.
And he teaches them how to do that. There's a special, unique way, and he teaches them all to do it. But he has one particular flower who does not want to bloom, and we are in her point of view throughout the book.
Okay. And do we know who she is in the book, or is she kind of mysterious? Like you're just like,
I think I think that readers should know who she is.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to assume it might be Bexley Hemingway's sister that we're looking for, but I could be wrong. Only thing I say, because there's so,
yeah, that's no
it's
real
so
secret.
Hard to have suspense and thriller authors on a podcast, because asking questions about their story is like saying, tell me all the spoilers.
That is so true. There's so many spoilers. What's not a spoiler is, yes, Tiberius has a son. And yes, I know that people do not like secret baby tropes. And to some degree, I am with you, even though I have written a secret baby trope in Love Inspires Suspense. And actually, for me, it worked. I liked it. And
Okay.
For this, I think it works. It's not the main plot point, but it is important. And there's a very good reason why he didn't know he had a son. He thought she was dead. And that's not a spoiler, because that is information that comes out at the end of A Cry in the Dark, which is the book before this one.
Right.
So it is a series. It is FBI Strange Crimes Unit series. You can read them as standalones, but when it's about surrounding characters in that team, I feel like you get so much more out of it, and you're invested more in the characters, and you learn little tidbits about their lives from the other books. Can you read
Right.
it without reading the other two? Of course you can. But I'm always going to recommend, or as a reader myself, I want to read series books in order, even if they are standalones, because I want to know, like, that little tidbit. He finds out that, what? I thought she was dead. How is this even possible? And so
Right.
it's this little open ender. And then of course his book picks up, and it's not a shock that she's not dead, because he found it out already. Finding out he has a son is, and that is important, but it's not the major plot point, but it is part of his personal life and what's
Right.
going on. You know, it's a storm all the way around. It's a storm personally, it's mental, emotional, physical, and a spiritual storm, all wrapped up in one actual hurricane. So there's a lot going on.
Yeah, you didn't really hold back on the action, that's for sure. I mean, throwing in a
No.
hurricane. That brings an element of excitement, I think, right there.
It does. And that's your ticking time bomb, you know, with a thriller, especially there, you know, because it's going to interfere with the case. It's going to interfere with investigations. It's going to interfere with evidence. And, you
Right.
know, they may have to evacuate the island. And so how are we going to find this missing sister, you know, and are we going to find her in time? So
Right.
what are we going to do about that? And so that really amps up all of those high stakes and tension.
Yeah. And that makes sense. And I mean, you kind of want the high stakes and tension when you're reading a thriller.
Absolutely.
What is the difference between high stakes and tension versus fear as a reader and as a writer?
That's a good question. For me, I think high stakes means that whatever it is you have to solve, whoever it is you have to catch, if it's high stakes, it means it's very personal to you. I think that there needs to be more than just an investigator investigating a case, which can be done and is often done in mysteries, and I enjoy them very much. Excuse me, but I feel like for a thriller, high stakes. And I also think as a reader, I'm more invested if there is something personal at stake with the character.
Right.
I'm more emotionally invested. And then the fear factor comes in that psychological suspense, and also, you know, the fear of what is going to happen to this victim, and is she going to be saved? Are they all going to be saved? The fear of, I love taking something that could happen, something that seems innocent, and then all of a sudden it's terrifying because that could really happen. The situation that these girls get into are very realistic situations. Now, I don't know that someone's actually going to put you in a cage and keep you. It's possible. I mean, like, as a flower anyway, people put people in cages all the time. My point is that may not happen, but there is a lot of things out there that's realistic. And so I feel like the fear is it relatable. Like, if you can make that fear relatable to the person,
Right.
like, this could really happen to you. This could happen to your sister. This could happen to someone that you love. And you might not know that it's happened, because, you know, I'm getting into spoilers, so I can't really say a whole lot. But
Right, right.
that's the fear factor for me, is could this really happen to any person at any point at any time? And the answer would be yes. And so therefore I'm way more terrified, because it's not something like, chances are, how many times are you going to like fall out of a helicopter, like spy stuff? Probably not. It's thrilling and it's exciting and it's suspenseful, but it's probably not something that's going to happen to you or someone you know. But
Right.
these things could actually happen. And therefore, I think that really ramps up the fear factor.
That is a really good answer. I
Thanks.
really like that because, you know, when I'm reading a book and it's a thriller, I'm not necessarily experiencing any type of sensations of fear. I might have a little bit of an adrenaline rush, depending.
Yeah.
But I'm not biting my nails and I'm not afraid to go to bed. But when I feel like somebody's looking over my shoulder, or I'm on a phone call, and if I turn around, somebody's going to be standing there with this knife hoisted over my head. That's a completely different element of fear.
Yeah, it is. It is. Because, you know, this could happen to you. This could happen to your daughter. All kinds of things. And when you bring it home like that, then there is this huge element of terror. And it's because you know that it could happen to you. And so we evil authors, we play on your fears like that.
Oh, and it's fun. And it's fun. Now,
can we peddle it for $15? Here's some beer.
Right. So do you get emails from readers that they're like, I can't read your books at night?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. And I'm like, sorry, not sorry.
Right. I know.
But my
Now,
sister can't read them.
Oh,
She
really?
can't do it.
That's
yeah,
funny.
She has a real, she told me the other day she read a book. And it wasn't mine. And so I was a little sour about that. But anyway, she read a book and she said, it scared me. And she told me what it was. And I started, and I'm not going to say, but I started laughing. I was like, I've read that book. That book is not even scary. She says, but they were being stalked the whole time. I'm like, that book was not scary. Do not pick up my book. You cannot read that. That book was not scary. But she can't, because usually she'll say, I'm reading a book and it's very light. Now she can read my love-inspired books. And I often tell people, you may not be able to read the trades because they are really dark and they're twisty that way. And so you may not be able to do that. And I don't get that upset about it because everybody's tastes are different. That's fine. My books don't scare me. But I also read some authors who absolutely terrify me and I can't read them at night. There are a few authors out there where I'm like, you know what? And it's not because I'm scared at night. It's because it's in my mind before I go to sleep and I know I will have a nightmare. I know that
right.
I will.
Right.
And
right.
so I read them during the day so that I can do other stuff before I settle in and maybe not have a nightmare. But most often, I don't, but I do have readers that they're like, I can't read this during the night. I'm like, well, then read it during the day. And good luck when you go to bed.
Yeah, exactly. Do you feel like with your books, do you get scared yourself? I mean, do you creep yourself
No.
out, I guess? Yeah, I'm the
No,
same.
and because I already know the outcome.
Right.
And I think that's the difference. It's like when my editor said, she's like, I kind of wish I didn't know what was going to happen in this book because I lose the suspense. And I think that's the same as the author because you already, I mean, there are things that crop up, of course, in your books. You're like, ooh, that's new. That's fun. That's a different turn. But not necessarily your villain or what he's doing. You kind of already know what he or she is going to be doing. And so you lose that edge of suspense that your readers are on because they have no idea what the plot is. They don't know what direction it's going to take. If you're a new author to them, they don't know if you're someone who's going to kill everybody off, nobody off. I mean, that's what I love about reading new authors is I don't know their style or anything about them. So I'm scared for everybody because I don't know who you are as an author and I don't know what you're going to do. And I love that heightened suspense. So always read a new author because then you get that little extra thrill ride.
Yeah, because some authors are not afraid to go there and actually like take out a hero or something really close. Although I do find I shouldn't say it's funny, but it's kind of funny that we will take out so many human beings in a novel, but we will not kill the dog.
Absolutely not. And I've had people say, I had a cover with a horse on at one time and a reader said, is the horse going to die? And I replied, no, but a lot of people are, but not the horse will live.
And they're
because
like, oh, okay. Okay. That's fine. I just want to make sure the horse was
animal.
Fine.
You don't torture the cat, but go ahead and, you know, gut, skin alive a person. We can deal with it. But please don't run over a cat. Don't do anything like that.
No.
You know, can't do that. Yeah, so I don't harm any animals, just helpless victims. So you'll be
happy
to know
Thank you for having
that.
boundaries. Thank you for having
Ah, I mean, I even saved a rattlesnake one time. I had him capture it and put it out, which I myself would have cut its head off with a hoe, but I
Yes.
didn't
My
eat him.
aunt would carry, my aunt carried a pistol on her hip, and we'd go down to New Mexico, and it was like, we're talking full on hardcore ranch life, right? So she carried a pistol on her hip. And I remember asking her once, like, and I was little, I was like, are bad men going to come? And she goes, oh, honey, this isn't for the bad men, baby. She said, this is for the rattlesnakes.
This is where the rattlesnake, which you got to take care of or you're gonna die. My husband wears a pistol when he's down on the property and out there with the pond because you know it's kill or be killed. You know
It
what
is.
I'm
Yeah,
saying?
it is. It is. Yep. My uncle almost got bit by a rattler that was like a 6 foot long rattler. It was huge. And he didn't, and it died. A very quick bullet
Yeah, it's
death.
quick and
You
it's
know,
painless. It's gonna
but
be way
you know,
quicker than.
he saved the whole thing and took pictures, because that thing was as tall as he was. And I was like, oh
Oh,
no, nope,
not a
nope,
fan.
nope. Well, but yet in your books, you're sensitive to
Yeah.
people who love rattlesnakes, and you made sure. Okay, that's good.
That's right. We'll protect them.
Thank you,
We'll
Jess.
take them to a lab and, you know, all the good
I
stuff.
just want to let you know that
Wildlife.
you have my permission to kill as many spiders as you want to.
All right, I will.
You
Or
won't
I'll
get
send
any
you
hate mail
some.
from me.
Yeah, the next package you get from me, you may not
Oh gosh, you would too.
want
I can totally see that. All these velvet spiders come flying out at me. Oh yeah, you see those birthday cards that kids open on reels, and then the butterflies fly out and they all start crying. And for me, it'll be just
Yeah.
spiders jumping,
There'll be
jumping.
spiders
Ugh, gross.
skittering everywhere.
Yes. Okay, so books. You're a love inspired suspense author, so you have a lot of love inspired suspense books available. And then this is your third of the trade book. Now tell us what the difference is between your love inspired suspense and then these novels, which you
That's
touched
a
on, but take us
yeah,
deeper.
and that's a great question because sometimes I think readers who are avid readers of love-inspired suspense assume that a suspense in trade is going to be just a longer love-inspired suspense, and then they are shocked and appalled
And
and
horrified and terrified.
horrified for sure. For sure. Now, I do have creepy villains in my love-inspired suspense, but besides the word count or the length of the book, love-inspired suspense books are romantic suspense. So you're 50-50. So there's a heavy romance and heavy suspense. It's a lot of action. It's about the danger
Okay.
of the hero and heroine are in danger and someone is after them. And so a lot of it is, while they are investigating, they are mostly on the run from this danger and being physically attacked repeatedly. And then with the trade books, because these are more psychological suspense books, they are less of being on the run. In fact, they are investigating, they're being toyed with. It is much darker and grittier, heavier subject matter. Love-inspired suspense books are more conservative. I would call them safer in a sense. I mean, all books are safe, you know, nothing's gonna bad, it's gonna jump out and get you.
Right,
Unless
right.
it's one of those butterfly cards, they're butterfly books. You open the book and it's like, wow, it just
Well,
happened.
that'll be a new reading experience.
It's an interactive book. in more ways than one. But they are much safer and more conservative. The longer books have darker, heavier subject matter and they're grittier. They also have room for subplots. And it's not necessarily two characters on the run. And my books have very little romance. This would be what I would consider back burner romance. And then my next book coming up has no romance. In fact, the next three books aren't going to have any romance in them.
Okay.
So you don't have to necessarily have that. So if you think you're getting a love-inspired suspense that's just longer, you're in for a rude awakening because it's not at
Yes.
all.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Well, and that's good. I think it's a good clarification to make, because yeah, when I say you're the criminal minds of fiction, I mean, there's a lot of people that don't like to watch Criminal Minds, but they'll
Sure.
watch like NCIS or something like that.
Yeah. I would say LI Love Inspired Suspense is probably more NCIS and the trades, or at least my trades. I can't speak for everybody's
Right.
because I know Dana Mintic had an excellent trade come out, And it was a romantic suspense, and it was not dark and gritty like what I'm doing, but it was an excellent book, and I highly recommend it. It's called Trapped in Yosemite. And so, I can speak of my books. And so they're more Criminal Minds than NCIS.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That's a good definition, Jamie. That's good.
Yeah, that's okay. And I put a lot of thought into that just for you, Jess.
Yeah. You just do it right out there. On a whim. but it works.
All right. So if people want to get a hold of your books, either Love Inspired or The Trade and The Garden Girl specifically, how do we go about doing that? What's the best way?
Okay. You can visit my website at jessicarhatch.com, and all of my books by series are there with buy links to your favorite retailer. So, you know, if you don't order necessarily off Amazon, you want it from, you know, Barnes and Noble, all of those options are there for you. Also, a fun perk is my books are in Walmarts. So if you're out shopping and you're at Walmart, you can go to their book section, and not every single Walmart, but most Walmarts will carry it, and anywhere books are sold. So there you go.
Yeah. Perfect. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a blast.
It has been.
But I'm going to let you go because you have more books to write, and I want you to write them.
And I want you to write your books. I know you got stuff to do too. Yeah.
We do. We all have stuff to do, but don't hesitate to get a Jessica R. Patch novel. They are good. They're some of my favorites. So there, I said it.
You said it. Thank you. I might not. I'll rescind the spiders. Maybe.
Thank you. You'll cut it back by two. Well, two less maybe. Spiders will come in your card.
Maybe they'll just be baby spiders.
Oh, nasty. Nasty.
They are.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being part of the podcast today, and we'll have to have
Thanks
you
for
back.
Having me.
All right.